2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, hey, it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse on this beautiful Saturday morning. Ton, I am going outside. I'm going to do some sort of digging. I'm not sure if my ground is frozen or what, but I'm going out to check it out.
We're supposed to be in the 50s today. And then rain all next week. So it is the day to get outside.
Well, you know, I've got a bunch of transplanting to do. So I want everything to, you know, I want to catch it while it's dormant and move that little pomegranate tree to another location. I found a perfect location for it,
Good.
Though. So rest assured, I'm going to try to save the pomegranate tree.
Well,
whatever it is.
One of those things that if it survives, great. Because they're not even supposed to grow here.
I know, but I found another little sheltered location and I think it will. This morning, though, our plant of the week, the Birkwood viburnum. Tell us about that.
Well, Birkwood viburnum is the general group of viburnums are a very large family of shrubs that are native to the Northern Hemisphere, mainly Asia, but also Europe and North America. And they are known for their flowers. And so snowball bush is a type of viburnum. That's the most common one. But there are many others that are quite ornamental. But another feature that many of them have is they're quite fragrant when they're in bloom in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So
this one looks a lot like the snowball bush.
It does. And they mostly have the same general flower. It's a ball here, hence the name snowball. But the flowers come in a ball. These flowers are not quite as showy, but they're very fragrant when they come into bloom, which is usually into early to mid-April.
The leaves look a little bit shinier than a snowball bush.
It's semi-evergreen. If you have it in a protected spot, it will hold the leaves through the winter. And so if we were just a little bit warmer, it would actually be an evergreen viburnum. But oftentimes, if we get below around 5 or 10 degrees, the leaves drop. It doesn't hurt anything, but it is semi-evergreen.
Okay, sun, shade, where do we need to plant?
6 hours of sun a day. I've seen them okay on like a southeast exposure or west or even south. They'll tolerate heat just fine. And when they're not in bloom, they're just a shrub. But if you want something that will give you that fragrance that you need in early spring when you're trying to get outside, you know, and trying to spend some time out there. They're blooming the same time as the daffodils and the forsythia and a number of other early spring plants, you know, that just kind of when they start to bloom along with a few other things, you know, okay, spring's finally here and it's on.
Right. Next to the back porch or the back patio,
yes,
where you're going to be spending a little bit of time and can enjoy that fragrance.
Yeah. And go out and, you know, it blooms for 2 to 3 weeks. And so the other thing with this, that it's a very low maintenance shrub. It just faces very few problems. You know, it's needs watered every couple of weeks once it's established. It is one that you just don't see a lot of aphids or other pests on. And so it just does its thing the rest of the year, and then it starts to blossom. You get that fragrance, and it's just wonderful. And so it's one that, you know, would I plant 10 or 15 of them? No. But, you know, if I've got an area of my yard that people frequent or I'm out and I want something that is going to give me something pretty but just that really nice fragrance, this is something that I would plant.
Yeah, I like it in the water-wise category too.
It is. And so it's something that on a drip system or micro sprays or however you want to do it, it will tolerate being deep watered every 10 days to 2 weeks to a depth of about 18 inches.
Okay. You mentioned low maintenance. How about the soil though?
Average soil. It will grow in clay soil. It'll grow in sandy soil. It's not really salt tolerant. And so if you live near one of the lakes, the Great Salt Lake or Utah Lake, you may want to be a bit cautious and test your soil ahead of time. But it grows almost anywhere along the Wasatch Front as long as it's not drowned.
Hmm. You know, it's one of those, like you said, you wouldn't plant 10 of them, but it's like a forsythia. You wouldn't plant 10 forsythia either. They only bloom once. They're gorgeous in this, you know, April, but the rest of the year, they're kind of scraggly.
They are.
But this is not like that. It's going to look beautiful year-round, even if there are no blooms.
It will. And so you would use renewal pruning on it as soon as it's done blooming. So sometime in mid to late April. And just take 20 to 25% of the branches out. And after you do that, you can give it a really light haircut to keep it to a manageable size. It wants to get 10 feet tall, 6 or 7 feet wide. But with some renewal pruning, you can keep that down to 5 or 6 feet.
Just don't let it get out of control.
No, don't let it get
Daphne
out of control.
Like my Daphne in the front yard that is gorgeous, but it's pretty much taken over. I think I'm just going to let it take over. Take out the lawn, let it do its thing.
You know, those Daphnes, I just saw a Facebook post on Utah Gardening Experts, and somebody had a Daphne that was 20 or 25 years old that over a week it just died. And there's
don't say that.
And people, they ask, what happened to my Daphne? And the comments were just like, well, welcome to the world of Daphne. And that's what they do. And
yeah, don't break my heart. In the last 2 years, I've lost so many trees and bushes in my yard. So hopefully my Daphne are safe.
Yeah.
It's not my year. I already had my 2 years. I need to be free of anything dying in the yard. It's not my turn. This is a beautiful plant. And again, not one you're going to want to plant all over the yard, but one that you should have for spring.
Yeah, just one or two here or there. And they're widely available. You can hit most major garden centers, and they'll have 10 or 15 of them on hand. People usually purchase them when they're in bloom because that's when, you know, like, oh my gosh, what is this? That is so wonderful. And they go and get it. But this is one that's regularly stocked.
Okay. And there is an article up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, so you can check out more on this Birkwood viburnum. We're going to come back with your calls. The phone lines are open. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Here comes the sun. And, Ton, my worry is I'm going to just get so excited about spring and then it's going to snow all next week.
That's what it's supposed to do. You know, listening to that, and this is totally off track, but if you listen to that song through headphones and hear the different aspects of the instruments and the vocals come in, you know, through the 60s and 70s, that was a big thing to kind of try to expand your listening experience. But when I listen to a lot of these classic songs and you hear that through headphones as compared to more modern music, I really like the creativity of it.
But you realize how spoiled we are, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Quality has definitely changed.
Yes.
In recent decades, for sure. Let's get to our texters and callers this morning. We had a couple who were chiming in about the viburnums we were talking about. And if you didn't catch the plant of the week, it is a Birkwood viburnum. You can hear that on the podcast later today. You can also check the article that we have on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Next listener wanted to know, though, what is a good companion plant to mix with viburnum for a hedge around an elevated deck? And Mark, thanks for your question.
Well, it just depends on the characteristics you're going for, how tall you need them to get. The viburnums bloom in the spring, depending on which one you do. And so, you know, this Birkwood is nice, but if you wanted to do a hedge, I might actually veer toward something like double file viburnum, which is much more showy. And it's not fragrant, but it is super showy. It looks a little bit like a hydrangea in the spring with how many flowers it gets. And there's a few different varieties of double file viburnum. Marie's is one of the more common ones. It can get up to 10 feet, and so you'd use your renewal pruning. But if you mix something like that with, say, Rose of Sharon, depending on the size, again, both of those with renewal pruning could be kept down to 5, 6, 7 feet.
And the Rose of Sharon would bloom at a different time.
It would, and that's why I'm recommending that one to maybe mix with something like double file viburnum.
Okay. The next texter would like to know, should apricots be pruned to an open vase or a modified central leader?
Either is appropriate. We usually here in Utah prune them to open center, but if you read pruning fact sheets, they can go either way. And I think with apricots, they have a tendency to get tall. And the mistake people make with them is they cut too much fruiting wood out of the lower portions of the tree. And so you have the branching reaching 10 to 15 to 20 feet into the air, and all your fruit is above where you can pick it, just standing on the ground. And so I think the trick with the apricots is to make sure that when you're pruning it, that you leave fruit-producing branching lower down so that you can get a good harvest. Instead of limbing it up, we have a tendency to do the open center, which is great, but then we take everything off until we get to the tips of the branches, and those are the ones that are reaching far up in the air, and the apricots become quite difficult to pick.
Dave is on the line in Bountiful. Good morning, Dave. What is your question?
Okay, thank you for taking my call. I live in Bountiful, and I've got 10 acres, and I planted all kinds of sod and pine trees. And some of it's rolling hill, and some of it's flat. And you're the only two gurus I think I've heard in the last 30 years that understand this kind of problems. I've tried to find solutions. I have lawn problems that I want to fix. And over the years, I've decided that there's no solution for this unless somebody's a genius or knows about it or what do I do and where do I go?
So what question do you have for us? What's going on with your grass and your trees?
Tom, my lawn has a whole bunch of, not the circle necrotic problem, but it looks like, to me, it looks like a brain that's been uncovered. It's fishy. And the snow melted off last week, and so in some areas, and I was starved for water last year, and so the sun beat down on it, and then I don't know if I have a bugs, crazy stuff, and how do I solve it? I could peel in strips, literally. Everything I've done has been sod, diesel loads of sod, and I peel it, and as I peel it back, it's mushy, there's no root, the root's gone to jello, and it just keeps peeling out, and I notice a lot of little round things. They look like poop, but I don't know what it is. Have you got any ideas? Is there any solution for this? And a couple more questions. Can I put reseed if I dug it all out, or I take a sod cutter? And this is an area, five areas that are 20 feet long and 20 feet wide, or 40 feet long or 20 feet wide. Is there any solution for this without me just cutting it all out? And can I then resolder? Is it going to get eaten up too?
Well, it sounds like if it, I know you had drought stress last year, but it snowed, snow melts off, and then the grass is mushy, matted down, and unhealthy. Is that the situation?
Yeah, and Tom, I peel it, only it takes the whole inch. It's an inch deep of pulling it up.
And that, how long ago did you put the sod down?
Oh, 5 years.
Okay, so it's well established. So what I would recommend doing is getting a rake and then like a leaf or a grass rake and go into just one or two areas and rake that dead back. And then you're going to look at the ground and see if you can find any crowns of the grass left. I think that a lot of the damage is probably from a fungal complex called snow mold. And they thrive under heavy snow. And when the snow melts off, the grass is all matted down. It comes up without being attached to roots, or it just, you know, it peels back quite easily. But with snow mold, usually all is not lost because it leaves enough of the grass crowns intact that over a period of 8 to 10 weeks, the grass will usually recover.
Okay, I've had this trouble for 3 years. This is no snow.
Well, it's one of those things that if it comes back every year, it could be. And it sounds like how tall or how big are the canopies of your pine trees that are, the grass is under?
15 feet.
Okay, so they're not really big. But where those trees...
Tom, this is more in the open area.
Okay.
Sun hits it. No pine trees. Forget, under the pine trees are fine. This is out in the heat.
Okay, if we're running short on time, so you're going to need to let me ask you some questions and just see if you can give me good short answers, because we've got a news break in a couple minutes. We can hold you through if need be. I apologize. So in this open area, is it dead in the middle of the summer also?
When it burned up last year, yes.
Okay, but when you had more irrigation water, was it?
Yeah, that's right. Not enough.
Okay, so the drought stress is probably a lot of it. And when you peel it back, were you peeling it back last summer or this spring?
I could have last summer and still had some problems, yes.
Okay.
Into the fall. This spring, Tom.
But mainly this year. Okay,
yeah,
because,
right?
And then when did your snow melt off?
A week ago.
A week ago. So I do think that you're facing some snow mold problems just with how dense the snow was. The other thing that I think we might be running into is maybe some insect problems.
Yeah.
So one thing that I will have you do is go ahead and don't let it sit, but we need another 3 or 4 weeks before we can really do good testing. And so the grass, it needs to be in the mid-50s to mid-60s consistently, so the grass is greening up. And at that point, you could mail some samples to the USU Pest Lab and have them go through them, because they can go through there and say, yep, that was snow mold, or that was necrotic ring spot, or that was grub damage. And so I would go to Utah Pest, just online, utahpest.usu.edu, and go to that site and then do the sample submission form and allow them to get 2 or 3 samples of that grass and go through it, because that's the only way you're going to know what's wrong.
And Dave, I'm sorry, we need to break for the bottom of the hour news. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.